Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to episode 3 of Blood Culture.
I'm Lance, and I'm the show's creator and producer.
I'm David, I'm one of the co-writers. After this episode, we're going to come back and we're going to have a chat about a few things. But for now, please enjoy episode 3
of Blood Culture.
We're locked inside a toilet. Locked inside a toilet in a Cafe Nero with a man beating at the door. A case filled with blood in our hands.
I will kick it out of here. Hold the door.
And with nowhere to go.
You won't stop or we'll call the police.
What will you tell them? That you stole it? That the owner wants it back? Oh, come on, there's no chance of that.
As he speaks, a sensation begins to rise up inside me.
That is not going to happen.
A sensation that uncoils and
Please
wraps
stop.
Itself around my senses, carrying me away from this place. On a wave of pain,
attack.
I slump to the ground.
Get rid of him.
Livy opens the case. The door bulges and splits against Ewan's weight, a sack of blood in Livy's hand.
Get rid of this.
She pushes me.
Oh, God.
The door bursts. Ewan falls in.
Daddy.
And smashes a pack in his face. Blood in his eyes. He's on his knees, scrabbling. And the world jitters and sags. Blood on the floor. Livy has me. We're walking, running, blood on my feet. Out of the cafe, blood trails behind us. Out to her car. People back away. We're alone, and the world is spinning, and I'm in the car, and I hurt so much, and there is nothing more. Only pain.
Do you want me to put on some music?
No, no, dubstep.
Happy hardcore? No. Well, I'll just put the radio on.
Jenny, I'm the Sky for Sussex. I'm sorry to say it looks as if all major road routes are blocked this rush hour.
What happened there was a sickle cell attack.
This is going to result in more delays and a lot of pain for everyone.
I told you about how my blood cells are misshapen. They aren't nice round donuts like yours, but they're shaped like a crescent or a sickle. They don't pass through my body as smoothly as yours will.
Which in turn will cause blockages.
Blockages in blood vessels and pain.
Lots of pain.
Pain so profound it can change your understanding of the world.
Nothing is moving and roads are getting more and more backed up.
No oxygen getting through.
No one knows how long this will take to clear.
Minutes. Moments. Days.
Oh, I think everyone here knows who to blame.
The sickle gene is passed on by your parents.
But it seems that there is nothing that can be done about it.
Other than to just wait.
And let the flow begin again.
Aisha. Aisha, love. Venice, she's waking up. Come here. Are you in the van? It's all right. You're safe.
Hey, Aisha. You're all right there, Fruit Loop.
Yeah. What? Venny, what are you doing here?
Well, he came over as soon as he heard. He's been at your side all day.
We were worried for you.
No, wait a moment. No, there's that man, the case of blood.
It's here. Livy got you away.
And the samples?
She lost a few, but she got the one that matches yours. That's the one that really matters.
Then I need to get up.
No, don't, Aisha. Rest.
Yeah, but they'll come for us.
I don't know you're here, love.
And we're still getting somewhere.
Yep, Venny worked out what those pills were.
Yeah, they're EPOs, like a sport drug.
Well, why do you want those?
People think they can make them work longer and harder.
And that killed him?
I don't know. I'm going to see what's in the blood Livy got me from Metabeta. Going to get into work and run some tests on it.
No, don't do that. You will get caught.
No, I won't. You may not realise this, but no one notices me, Aisha. I'm down there with the cleaners to most people. Just invisible.
I have to take these risks if it wasn't for Livy.
Yeah. You can't go back in, can you? She shouldn't have hit that bloke in the bog.
Well, she thought she was doing the right thing, you know.
She wasn't thinking. She just doesn't think. She puts us all in danger.
And she knows that. She's feeling pretty bad about it at the moment.
Well,
she's outside, Aisha. She's waiting to talk to you.
Well, you know, she can keep waiting. Nothing to say to her.
She's awake.
How angry is she?
Pretty pissed off.
Really messed up.
Well, how you thought you were doing right, you know.
Fat lot of good that was.
Well, you got the blood. We can stash it here. I've got a leisure battery to keep it running, you know, for the fridge in the case. And Venny there, he's going to run some tests, figure out what's what.
Well, what do I do?
Keep your head down, I say. Maddie will know all about you by now.
Richard doesn't frighten me. It's Aisha I'm worried for. That man. Those people. They act like no one else can stop them. They're just evil.
It's all ego for them, isn't it? They scratch the surface, they're just frightened underneath. Playing games and trying to control the world. He's scared of something on the inside. You know that.
So, sometimes you just give us these little bits of magic, don't you? He's gonna have a weakness, isn't he? Something we can work on. So that's what I do. Find out what it is.
Well, are you going to do that?
I'm going to dig, Saul. I'm going to dig into Drea's past so deep. I'm up to my elbows in it, and I'm going to learn who he really is.
You might not want to do that, love.
Oh, no, I do. I'm going to make things better here, and I'm going to do it for Aisha.
I need to go home. Fanny dropped me off. He didn't want to leave me. He would have stood guard outside all night if I'd asked. Part of me had expected the police to be waiting for me in my flat. Part of me wanted the police to be here. Put an end to it all. To take my choices away. First, though, I'll sleep. Rest up and...
Come here! You little bitch! Get in here! Is it? Did you hide it in the kitchen, eh? Or in the bedroom?
No, I haven't got it.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, who has it, eh? Is it that hippie mix, eh, that you were in there with?
No.
Then he has me against a wall and he's pushing into me.
Now, don't be silly, girl. Where does she live?
Crushing me.
I hardly know her.
What? Do I look stupid? Eh? Did I put my stupid face on this morning, did I? Is that why you treat me like this?
No, of course not.
Then tell me.
I don't know. I didn't want to meet her in that cafe. She's just a friend of Dad. If I call her now, she just won't come.
Now, shut up, right?
I think that she will. You'll call and she'll come. Otherwise, this stupid face is going to become a really nasty, hurty face. You know what that means, don't you? Now, nod if you do, Lassie. Nod if you do. Yes, yes, that's good. Now you're the clever one, eh? Smarty smarts in your head. I like that. Oh, I do, Aisha. I like that. You get me that case by tomorrow night, and I'll tell you what, we can forget all this. We can become friends, and that would be good, eh? I would like a friend like you. It can be a little secret.
A secret?
Well, you're the boss's girl, aren't you? Eh? Well, you can be mine as well.
No one for me!
Tomorrow night, you call me and I'll come and I'll meet you, eh? It'll be like a day.
Just get out!
Oh, you tease.
Dick!
a.m. A cold spring morning. I pass into the moor of the Metter Atrium. I have time. Ewan hasn't told anyone. I can get into Metter and sort this out. I cross the security barriers. No one stops me. No one notices me. No alarms sound. I'm safe.
Aisha Cowan, get into my office now.
I follow her, alert, concerned, calculating what she knows, working out my next move.
Sit.
She stands.
I wanted to talk to you alone.
And so it begins.
You were absent yesterday. Why?
I was ill. She knows.
You should have informed us.
Is that all you wanted me for?
No. There is a more serious matter.
The floor drops away beneath me.
A disciplinary matter.
I was a fool to come here.
I wanted to hear your explanation.
I bow my head.
If there is one.
And wait for the axe to fall. Kim, we were stuck in the toilet. We were frightened.
What?
The toilet. We didn't know who he was.
What are you talking about? Have you lost your mind? I don't care about whatever sick games you've been playing in the toilet.
And then my life tilts.
This is about the visit you made to Luca's house.
What? And hope rushes back into me.
Oh, Shireen. I was concerned for her.
That isn't your role.
I wanted to help her out. The welfare of the other workers is none of your concern. There is a department to take care of those matters. What did she say to you?
Oh, what do you expect she said, Kim? She said the kind of things people say when their flatmates die.
She needs to move on.
Oh, Kim, he's not even buried. Be a human for a change.
Oh, don't push me, Cowan. You knew that woman the other day, the one who attacked Richard. You knew her, but you're still here. No one sacked you. You've got a hold over someone, haven't you? I'm going to find out what you're doing, what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
When I do, it'll be over for you, won't it? Now, listen to me. There's a memorial service for Luca in the Dreyer Hall at 2 p.m. I expect to see you there. And remember, if you're not early, you're late.
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. Designated grieving time. How kind.
Richard will be there. You keep away from him and from the interns. I warn you, leave Shireen alone. Now get out.
Eight a.m. I leave Kim's office, elated, gasping with relief. I walk along the balcony looking down into the atrium. No one is watching me. No one knows anything is wrong.
Aisha, why are you here?
Fenny, it's all right, I'm safe. Ewan didn't tell anyone.
Still such a risk.
I need to get evidence and I only have a day. You worked anything out yet?
I've started the tests.
Have you got any evidence?
No, it's not that easy.
But they were taking EPOs, performance drugs. It'll be in the blood, won't it?
No, it doesn't last that long. You can only detect it for 8 hours. Two of the samples have got high haemoglobin, but it doesn't prove anything.
It doesn't prove anything. That is what EPOs do, isn't it? Make the blood manufacture more red cells. That's our evidence.
No, it isn't. Look, it's like this. Look out over the balcony, right? Look at everyone working, running around doing their jobs. Now, imagine that everyone is a little red blood cell carrying a bundle of oxygen to keep the Metter machine working, right?
Okay.
Now, let's pretend Richard invented a way of manufacturing extra workers.
Well, why would he do that? He'd just employ more people.
Stop being so literal. You're like your dad.
What?
Come with me on this, will you? Richard wants to make extra workers in secret because he wants his company to work better.
All right.
Now, unless you catch him making these workers in this little, let's say, 8-hour window while he's doing his illegal business, how can you tell that he's been up to anything?
Well, there'd be loads and loads of people working here.
Big deal. This is a healthy company, strong and fit, employs a lot of people.
Well, then, you'd test them, see if they're different?
Nope. They are completely normal people. Can't tell them apart. Come on! Think! You work in HR!
Right, check the employee records.
Exactly. Go back a week and look up and say, oh, last Friday there were 100 people in here, and today there are 500. What's going on? That's not right. That's how it works with EPOs. If I find someone with a high red cell count, doesn't mean anything. Not unless I know what their blood looked like before they took the drug.
And you can do something like that? Figure out what their blood was like before?
I've got a bunch of bags with barcodes on them. No names. And they're pulling records as well, so... no. I can't do it.
Well, then we're screwed.
No, we're not. If we think EPOs were part of why Luca died, then we've just got to find out exactly who gave them to him and why.
Oh, just that?
Yeah. Just that. Sorry.
Then, I need to talk to Shireen again, find out what she knew.
And I'm going to widen my search, see what else I can pick up.
Right. Fenny, thanks. You've been amazing.
Yeah. Well, perhaps this is what I was here to do. Look after people.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world. That ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
10 a.m. I'm watching Shireen across the office. She looks fragile, tired. She's not even going through the motions anymore. The company won't keep her long. We need to talk. I need her to talk because she's my last connection to Luca, but while Kim is roaming, it isn't even worth the risk. 10:15 a.m. A call. Livy, here? Now? What are you doing calling me?
Aish, I've been doing some research. There's something I want you to see.
But this is not a good idea.
Please, I've been working so hard on this and it's important for me.
All right then. This is her trying to say sorry, I know it. But be quick. Kim is hovering over Shireen, circling her.
Right. Now, listen, I thought we needed to know more about Richard. Like, dig beneath what he gives out to the public, because we're not going to figure out what he's up to if we can't understand who he really is. And to do that, you've got to go deep, like, deep, down and inside him.
Livy, when did you last sleep?
A couple of days back, but it really doesn't matter.
Kim has moved in on Shireen, looming over her, spitting words in her face.
So, look, I was following up what Vinny said the other day about when Richard was in his 20s and was part of the early rave scene.
Yeah.
Well, back then, he sorted out all their phone systems.
And?
And it was a big deal. They had to let thousands of people know how to get to a party in the middle of nowhere without the police finding out.
Across the office floor, Kim's rage is building.
So I have only gone and found a film of one of those parties on YouTube, and I want you to watch it and tell me what you think. You got a computer?
Yeah.
Search for this. Sunrise Party, 1988, Part 4.
Got it.
Go on, press play.
The film starts. Slowed down shots from a handheld video. Colours washed out and blurred. Music. Moments in Love by the Art of Noise. A camera pans and tilts through the crowd in the countryside. People smiling and dancing. It looks like early morning. Trees are around them.
I want you to pause it 48 seconds in.
I do as she says.
There he is.
Cropped dark hair and wearing a V-neck jumper. He doesn't smile, but moves through the crowd with a sense of direction and purpose, slipping between undulating bodies.
That's Richard.
His face. Only a fraction of a second, but it is him.
And your point is?
Aish, go back to the beginning of the video.
I scroll back, press play again, and I see it straight away. Just a few seconds in. Head down, swinging his locks, bare-chested and lost in the music. The beginning of a lifetime in that moment.
That's all, isn't it?
My dad, at a party with Richard Dreyer.
Why didn't he tell us?
30 years ago.
Maybe he didn't realise.
He must have
Shireen
known.
Is gone.
You don't end up in that field with those people at that time of day unless you know someone.
But maybe he doesn't remember, I don't know, ask him. Livy, this doesn't help us. You should be worrying about you and who he is and what he's doing. Why don't you find that out?
Kim stands staring at me, her mouth a dried, puckered O of disapproval.
We should talk to Sol.
Yeah, okay. Look, I've got to go.
I hang up and run to the toilets. Tears in the toilet stalls are a given part of Meta's culture. Everyone feels it, but no one speaks of it. Wedged in despair against the toilet tissue holders, huddled on plastic seats, we all cry. Alone.
Shireen. But Shireen, open up.
No, leave me alone.
Oh, hey, honey, come on. What did Kim say to you?
I'm letting the team down.
Well, you're not. Look, open up, please. I want to help you.
The door slides open, lips at the crack.
I'm not supposed to talk to you.
Forget Kim.
She said I'm pathetic. Now I'm an embarrassment.
No, you're not, babe. No way. Come on, look, talk to me. Tell me one thing about yourself, will you? Huh? Where did you study?
King's. I couldn't afford to go out of the city.
A master's?
Yeah.
Right, first person in your family to go uni?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now you're here. You're not stupid. You're not pathetic. Never doubt yourself, Shireen. It's this place. It does it to all of us.
And it hasn't done it to you.
Yeah, perhaps not. But come on, open up. I need to talk to you about Luca.
I crouch down before this poor lost girl, taking her hands.
It's all my fault.
No, it's not. Come on.
I should have stopped him.
Are you talking about those tablets that you were taking?
How did you know about them?
Vinny, he told me. He's the medical officer.
You and Vinny? I forgot about that.
Come on. Just tell me what happened. Oh,
come on. Look, you can trust me. It's okay. Go on.
When he was rejected by Metabita, he came back and he pushed himself so hard. I knew he was doing it. I mean, it was like he was obsessed. And he had these pills and we thought it was his only chance and he started taking them and I took them too.
You were taking EPOs?
Well, he told me it would make a difference. That I'd have a chance of being selected. I thought if everyone was doing it, I'd have to do it as well, just to keep up.
What, everyone was doing them?
Yeah, a lot of the team.
Well, where were you getting them?
She told me not to say.
Kim.
She said I'd be in trouble. I was part of Luca's death. I've been such a fool.
Look at me, Shireen, look at me. You didn't kill him. This is not on you. Now, I need you to help me. We have to find out where Kim got those pills. Wait, hang on. I've got to take this. Dad?
Who are you talking to in the lobby there, girlie?
Ewan! What are you doing on my dad's phone? Where is he?
Well, so, but he's right here. Good lad he is. Rolling up a fat one with one of my boys at the moment. Hey, Sergei! Don't go get the joint.
Let me talk to him.
No can do, missy. Tell you what, though. These old vans are death traps, aren't they? Be sure he's going to be safe here.
Don't do anything to him.
Of course I won't. Do you think I want to? No. I don't want to. But the thing is, you're not doing what I asked you to, are you? You're not getting me my case.
I want to. I will.
Well, you're not going to find it in that toilet, are you? Now, Aisha, I'm going to leave my boy Sergei here way apart just to make sure he stays safe. You know, make sure there's none of the old carbon monoxide leakage, eh?
I want to talk to Dad.
Shut it. In the meantime, let's you and me have that date, eh? Tonight. Café del Forno, 9 o'clock. Table for two. I'll pay the bill. You bring that case. Deal? Deal.
Oh, my God.
What's happening? Who was that?
Wait, just wait, hon. I need to speak to someone.
Yeah?
Livy, stop what you're doing. Do you know where Dad's parked up? God, he's in trouble.
Blood Culture was written by Lance Dann and Phil Connolly and featured the voices of Chetna Pandya, Brian E. Afferson, Jack Claff, Nathan Bryan, Stephen Critchlow, Laura Martin Simpson, Tam Dean Byrne, and Rob Rackstraw. The script supervisor was Lizzie Parkinson, and the assistant director was Alan Gilchrist. The music was by Claire M. Singer, Simon James, and Michael Jakarczyk. The sound design was by Simon James. The biomedical consultant was Dr. Cristino Lo Celso. The executive producer was Nick Ware, and the producer was Lance Dann. Blood Culture was a Resonance 104.4 FM production, supported by the Wellcome Trust.
Okay, it is kicking into gear now, huh?
I know, and it's kind of like you as you work through the series, I just, you know, and reworking this material, I kind of, it ramps up and it ramps up and
So obviously you, Lance, came up with the idea and you, you know, wrote on it and you produced it and post-produced it. I was a co-writer, so we're intimately familiar with the project, but coming back after 5 years, there is an element of, oh yeah, we did that, and oh, I like that bit.
Mm.
I mean, it's not like it's someone else made it, not yet, give another 15 years, but it's still fun to come back to.
It's exciting to come back to, and I kind of appreciate quite like how much detail there is in here, and so many times I'm going back to it and go, oh God, and they go here, and that bit, and it ramps up, and it ramps up, and it ramps up. So that's been really exciting to revisit, and like you say, give it a bit of a polish. It's spruced up.
So can I just take you back to the beginning of this project and the what was the context? What was the situation that led to, you know, you sort of getting the initial idea and going, yeah, this is the thing. This is what I want to make.
I was working with Phil Connolly, and we really wanted to tell exciting stories.
Yeah.
And we wanted to tell thrillers. And that wasn't really being explored a lot in the audio fiction scene. Not in a really punchy, dynamic way like you'd see on television.
Yeah.
But actually, a lot of our influences then, you know, we were watching Mr. Robot and Breaking Bad and shows like that. And we were like, well, we want to do an audio version of that. And we realised it would cost a lot of money, which is when I noticed the Wellcome Trust.
Oh yes, the Wellcome. Now, okay, this is quite a big name in London. There's a museum, and they have a sort of like a wing of the National Science Museum. So they throw lots of money around, right?
They're a huge research drug and biomedical science research organization. Loads of these big companies come together and they do their research together, but also they do a certain amount of public outreach. And they used to fund lots of art projects and lots of creative media projects to talk about science and talk about the way that people are working and to bring ideas of science to audiences.
So used to.
Yeah, well, they didn't. They don't do it so much now. Mm. And it's on the one hand, that's a huge shame because that source of funding and talking about science is gone. But it does allow me to be honest and say that one of the reasons we went to them was because we wanted to tell these punchy, exciting stories, and the money was there from these people with very deep pockets, and they were able to fund our show.
Well, that was nice of them.
Which was very nice of them. But that's where, and I think where the show grew was because then we worked with people like Christina, and the science gets embedded and it becomes like a whodunit where you have to figure out the science to work out what's happening.
Which,
and we would have never gone down that route without them.
I have to say, it was thrilling when we were writing it, because not only did we have our eyes on the character stuff and the excitement, but also we were able to say what truthfully does happen to the body when X, what happens to somebody with sickle cell. And we basically had, you know, one of the world's great experts on the end of a phone. It was awesome.
Also, isn't creatively, for me, I kind of find it easier to generate and work with ideas if I'm constrained.
Right.
And if you're working within preset parameters, as opposed to you can come up with anything you want. So being told you have to feature believable and truthful science and biomedical science in this thriller, kind of, I mean, I loved it because then we could, you know, we had something to push against and bounce off against.
Okay, so it was made with this kind of excitement and this shall we say practical approach to funding, and then it got released. So Resonance is this sort of London-based, very socially conscious and kind of
arty radio station.
Yeah,
they're like WFMU on the East Coast or KPFA on the West Coast. Mm. Sorry if you're in the middle of America, I don't know an equivalent. But they're kind of an arts-based station. It's been around for a long time, cult following. And they kind of backed us and helped us produce it and were very sweet and allowed us a lot of freedom and put us in touch with certain musicians and things. That's why we've got such amazing musicians is through them. And when we go into the studios, it's their studios. You can hear us talking to the cast and crew and afterwards. So it comes out, and we did very well on release in the UK.
I mean, yeah, the iTunes charts were very kind to us. And then also you ended up with a few things on the mantelpiece, right?
Yeah, we won some awards. We won the
very audio, kind of you, Lance.
We won the audio production awards for the APAs, which is sponsored by Audible, the for best drama producer. And we got a bronze in sound design. We got a silver at the British Podcast Awards.
All right, that's enough of that.
Some other nominations.
You were very good. Well done.
We went down really well.
Yeah.
But we never broke America. And we can maybe, you know, I think we can look at like the audio drama scene, the audio fiction scene, and think about why at the time maybe it wasn't ready for it. And maybe it wasn't, you know, maybe honestly we didn't know how to market it. I didn't know how to market it to the States.
And then,
which is why we've got Realm.
Realm turn up and we get an opportunity to go, look, here's this thing that we're really proud of and people seem to like. Here's a chance for you guys to listen to it.
And it's all spruced up and modernized and you can dig it now.
Well, why don't we get on with the story and throw forward to episode 4.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit. But more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.